brings you tidbits from all aspects of the soccer world. Sometimes serious, sometimes zany, always opinionated. Now, here are your hosts, Chad Smith and Corey Chatelain.
This is a very special edition of the Two Dap Yanks podcast. I am your host, Chad Smith. And with me today, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Corey Chatelain. And Corey, it's World Cup time!
Yeah, Yanks are coming. The snobs are coming. We're going to take the world by storm or flame out in a blaze of glory. Either way.
Either way works for me.
Yeah. Group of death. What do we say to it? Not today. But probably will say yes, but anyway.
Not today, Group of Death. Yes, we'll get into that later. We'll get into our predictions. This is our World Cup prediction show, so welcome. We hope you have been enjoying all the build-up to the World Cup, and the anticipation is so thick, as a cheesy baseball announcer would say, you could cut it with a knife.
Yeah. Butter or like one of those fancy electric knives?
Yeah, one of them electric turkey carvers.
Yeah.
All right, folks, let's just get through the rundown and tell you.
Or as I was kidding.
Yeah, to see what we're talking about today. We will give a few comments about the U.S. and Nigeria since I was there over the weekend. We will then get into prediction mode. We are going to give you, now people are predicting groups, but we are going to give you the points for Group H, which is the group the USA is in. Then we are going to get into our, each of us will give who we think will surprise, who we think will disappoint, and who we think will implode.
A la France, 2006.
And then we will follow that with some World Cup history, because not a lot of people are talking about the World Cup history, and I think in this World Cup, you must know your history to be able to predict what will happen here in the next few weeks. And then to end the show, Corey and I will reveal who we think will be in the semifinals, the finals, and the eventual winner of the World Cup. So, with all that blathering out of the way, are you ready to get going, Mr. Corey?
Yeah, let's go before I lose my spot.
All right. Well, let's just get this out of the way first. You all know by now the United States men's national team ended their send-off series with a 2-1 victory over Nigeria in Jacksonville, Florida. And that gives them a 3-0 record in the send-off series, which, and if you listen to the pod a couple weeks ago where we gave the send-off series history, you'll know that is the first time. We've generally done well in this send-off series, but this is the first time that we've gone 3-0. So take from that what you wish.
Is that like a trophy?
It is. I think we won the group.
Yeah.
Yeah, we won the group. And we get a trophy. It's a, I think it's one of them dime store things. Pieces of plastic, and it might look like a fish.
Oh, I was going to say, is it one of those you get in like one of those highway gas stations where you got, you know, like a seagull and a piece of driftwood or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Welcome to Myrtle Beach. You know, something like that.
Uh-huh. All right, so I was at the match, and I am sorry to tell you, Corey, but you know this, and our viewers, our listeners are going to know this now, is that U.S. Soccer did not grant us a press pass.
A travesty! They're Euro snob haters.
They are. Now, I will not remind U.S. Soccer that basically you and I were the only people who are anything close to media who were supporting Klinsmann and his decision to drop you-know-who.
Yeah.
He who shall not be named.
Yes.
But I have actually done some research on this, Corey, and you'll find this interesting. I have figured out why we did not get a press pass exactly. It seems the U.S. Soccer is media is a very close-knit and tight fraternity.
Shocker!
Yes, and we did not go through the initiation ceremony, which involves a goat and Grant Wall chanting in Aramaic.
Ooh, which I'm sure has several incantations naming he who shall not be named.
That is probably true. So, sorry. So, next time we hope when a game is in one of our necks of the woods, that we hope that we go through this U.S. soccer media ceremony involving a goat and Grant Wall chanting in Aramaic so we could get our press pass.
Yeah.
Because I saw a bunch of numpties with press passes.
Oh, well, of course, but...
Of course, they gave them to everybody else, but us, no, we're not good enough, apparently. So,
well, you know...
Hey, thanks!
We refuse to play the game. Or the brown nose game, not the beautiful game.
Mm-hmm. All right, other notes from the match. We got to see a living legend, Corey. Ooh. Or I did. I got to see a living legend, you know.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
No, I got to see Mark Clattenburg in the flesh.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. How epic was that for me? Now, when I got there and the match was starting and I see the official and I turn to the guy next to me and I go, well, look at that. We got the CONCACAF version of Mark Clattenburg. I'm like, he looks exactly like him. And I thought it was a guy from Central America because he had his skin was pretty dark. And then the guy says...
He's been hitting the beach before the match then.
Yeah, and the guy tells me, no, I'm pretty sure that is him. And I'm like, what? So it took me a while because the stadium, the reception on the phone to get to the internet on the stadium was pretty shoddy. And it took me about 30 minutes to actually confirm on Twitter that it was Mark Clattenburg, who, yes, as you just mentioned, was obviously on holiday hitting the beaches because he had a tan on him.
Man, so we got sexy Dowd, and now we got Beach Clattenburg.
Yeah, and so it was pretty awesome.
Beach
so it,
boy Clattenburg.
Yeah. So it's good to know that Clattenburg is just as inconsistent and can lose control of a international friendly just as well as he does in a Premier League match. So, hey, good job on you, Mr. Clattenburg.
Maybe he was putting in the, you know, it's like a demo tape for becoming head of CONCACAF officiating.
Yeah, and I have it on good authority that he did not racially insult any of the players, too.
Oh.
Well, so that's pretty good for him.
Yeah, well, he's kind of like, you know, maybe he's going to the same council as Suarez has been going to.
Yeah, so I still can't believe that Clattenburg. I'm like, look at that guy's hair. He's like a Clattenburg wannabe.
Yeah.
And then, oh, my God, it is him.
You know, when I saw him on the TV at the pub, I had to do a double take because I thought I was still hungover and seeing things.
All right, we're not done with the jokes yet, folks. Don't worry. There's another rumor that I have to dispel, Corey. About Peter Odemwingie,
he of the helicopter fame.
Well, not the helicopter, but you know, just driving around anywhere, but. Yeah, but there is no truth to the rumor that Peter Odemwingie was waiting for me at my car asking for a transfer to the 2 Daft Yanks.
Oh, that's...
That did not happen.
Man, well, he must be coming to MLS then, because he's a Euro snob now, too?
Yeah, apparently. He wanted to come aboard. No, he didn't. He wasn't there.
Oh.
I don't know if we'd have taken him.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we pay enough for him.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
That's...
You know, all right,
I'm surprised he's still not banging on QPR's door, but whatever.
Okay. All right, now, all serious aside, we're done with all the funny jokes now. Corey, do you have any quick observations you would like to make about the match?
Just one. Clear the mantle space, Josie. Golden boot after his brace against Nigeria. He's now back to Golzie out to score. All you haters, step off. Just kidding. Or maybe I'm not. You know? So, yeah, clear off your mantelpiece, Josie. Golden boot coming.
Going to be pretty amazing to do that in so few games.
Well, you know, we're going to have like some Arsenal like losses, you know, or you know, we're like the Reading League Cup match where we beat Reading a few years ago 7-5. We're going to lose to Portugal 4-6 or yeah. Something.
All right. So yeah, so that is very important and everybody and their dog has said it, but it cannot be understated the importance of him getting that confidence back. So now, you know, if he performs like that in the next three matches, anything really is possible because, as they do say, for all you Josie haters who have been bagging on him, form is temporary, but class is forever, and he is a classy player. I think he just needs the service, and he finally got some service. And he's finally playing, hey, you know what? Every time I get the ball, I could actually, I'm a striker. I could shoot. I don't have to pass it. So it's good to see.
Well, yeah, and what's funny about his first goal, that tap-in that any of us could have scored, I'm sure there was a lot of people that were ironically, you know, the same people that were pumping up Landon Donovan's goal off a rebound that any of us could have scored as well were probably, well, anybody could score that goal when Altidore tapped it in, blah, blah, blah.
You just been fined $20.
God dog it.
You just said the name of he who shall not be named.
Yeah, I'm just you know, I'm going to be like Joey Barton with that. I'm probably going to get carded every week.
Okay.
Or fined every week.
Fined and sent to
Bob
your room.
Bob Probert of the soccer world here.
Okay. All right, now let's get into the prediction part of the show. And I wish we had some cool music for that. But we don't, because we're a low budget. And we would never...
Oh, well, we got that cool music coming at the end of the show.
Oh, yeah. We do. Do not tease that.
Yeah.
All right. So, the United States is in Group H, and everybody is giving their predictions. But we are actually going to give point predictions. So, each of us have made our little matrix, and we've calculated what we think is going to happen. And, I guess I'll let you go first. Out of the kindness of my heart, Corey, what do you think? Please go in order with your teams and the number of points they will have when Group H play is wrapped up.
Oh, I even went further, one step further. I got goal differential, too.
Holy moly. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I had to do that because I got two teams tying for second. So okay. Since, you know, only the top two teams qualify, I had to break them up.
Yes.
Yeah, so I got I got Germany winning the group with 6 with a +2 goal differential.
Okay.
Portugal finishing second with 4 points with a +1.
Okay.
Ghana finishing third with 4 with even goal differential or no goal differential, however you want to say that.
0, yeah.
And then I got the United States, unfortunately, finishing fourth in the group, but, you know, playing well. With 3, with a -3 goal differential, but scoring 4 goals. So,
okay.
Like I said, I just think the even though I said we would get out of the group 2 months ago, I don't know. I think it's going to be too big of a task this time around.
Okay, so Germany 6, Portugal 4, Ghana 4, Portugal over Ghana on goal difference, and USA 3.
Yes.
Which wouldn't be... terrible. My predictions are similar to yours, but I'm a little more optimistic, it seems. But not too much more optimistic. I have Germany also on 6 points. I did not do goal differential, sorry. Portugal, I have them on 4. The difference with you is I have us on 4 points as well. But I do not believe our goal differential will be enough, and I didn't predict why. We'll be behind Portugal on goal difference. That's pretty much a given. And then I have Ghana at 3. So we have the same scenarios playing out, just with different teams. With Ghana and the USA just flip-flopping between 3rd and 4th. And, you know, if you were to ask Ricky Bobby, he wouldn't really care. What about 3rd and 4th, right?
That's right. Yeah, I basically went on the premise that the U.S. is going to lose their opening 2 matches, but, you know, losing them close and then, you know, with nothing to play for and, you know, no fear in that 3rd game actually to upset Germany.
Who could have the group clinch themselves as well at that point in time.
Right, which is kind of what I was going on, that with neither team kind of caring, so to speak, for different reasons, obviously, that we would actually upset Germany.
Okay, and that could happen. So we have a similar viewpoint. We both have Germany and Portugal advancing and the USA going home, which would not be a shock. But trust me, we both hope we're wrong. But
yeah,
there's reality
comes
into play at some point in time.
Yeah, no, exactly, and that's the problem with being in the group of death, is you can still play well and not advance, you know?
Yeah, if you're telling me what you think, if we, you know, only lose by a goal to Germany, or to Portugal, only lose by a goal to Ghana, and then beat Germany, And you finish in last place. That's pretty rough. But it's very possible that that could happen.
Yeah, because I think I actually had us, what was it, losing to Germany by a goal, losing to Portugal by two, mainly because we'll get caught with the late goal chasing that result. Get caught, lose by two in each match because we get caught chasing a result, give up late goals, you know, because we're pushing men forward, and then win by a goal against Germany in an upset.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that is some good thinking, I think. So, all right. So there is that. Sorry to disappoint some people. But, you know, the facts are the facts.
Yeah, and like you said, I hope I'm wrong, but, you know, unfortunately, World Cup group of deaths are, you know, they're called group of deaths for a reason. And like I said, it's just one of those that, unfortunately, the quality is such of national teams nowadays is, are you know, because of the parity across the globe now, you can play well and not advance, so.
Mm-hmm. That is true. All right, let's move on to our next category of predictions, which should be entertaining as well, I hope. And we will start with our surprise team of the tournament. And in this round, I will go first. And let me pull up what I need to look at here. And let me tell you that my surprise team is out of a certain group. I'm stalling as the webpage loads.
Yeah.
My surprise team is coming out of Group C, which includes Colombia, Greece, the Ivory Coast, and my surprise team of Japan.
Oh!
Japan. Japan will not only get out of that group. No, I won't say they're going to win. I was going to say they're going to win.
You're going to go really crazy and say they're going to win the group?
No, they're not going to. They're going to get out of the group, though.
That would have been completely daft.
Yeah, it would be. No, Japan will get out of their group and somehow to find a way to get past Greece, which isn't hard because, you know, they're more of a defensive team. The Ivory Coast, they're getting older, and there's rumors that Yaya Toure may not be playing. Those are the new rumors that are out.
Yeah, I thought I read something today. He might have picked up some undisclosed injury or something. Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't know. Nobody knows. There's a lot of whispering. He could be fine and, you know, score tons of goals. And then you got Colombia, who is a South American team, and they're very good, but they're missing Falcao. So I think they're vulnerable.
Yeah, and Colombia has disappointed before when they were favored in 94.
Mm-hmm. But one of the big reasons why I'm picking Japan is because, A, I know they're going to be very well organized. Most Japanese teams are. And then with the fact that they have a lot of Brazilian influence to where they have a fair amount of skill on their team as well, just with lesser-known players. But I do believe that one of their most well-known players, the very awesome play-a-maker, the evil Kagawa, is going to have a very strong group. And he will get Japan out of the group. And, you know, once again to the knockout stage, who knows. But I believe Japan will get out of the group, which will be a surprise.
Yeah, no, that's definitely not one I would have picked. So I like it.
All right, and we'll see. I'm sure I'll look terrible when they go 0-3. They're eliminated.
Well, you know, it's...
You know,
you can be daft. You know, you could go daft in either direction.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, sir, what do you have for your surprise team of the tournament? I'm eager to know.
Yeah, my surprise team, I kind of cheated. I got two.
Two?
Yeah, well, surprise for different reasons, though.
Okay. All right, sure. Go ahead.
Positive surprise. You know, I'm daft. I'm going to bend the rules here.
Mm-hmm.
Positive surprise is going to be Chile for the ethnically sensitive. I think Chile's going to do really well in this tournament. I was actually surprised when I was doing some research last night that as much as we kind of joked about it last time or kind of downplayed the need for cap experience, I was actually kind of surprised that their team's got a nice balance of international experience throughout the roster that I didn't expect. And then, they have some they have a good bit of firepower, in their arsenal that can be, short-term tournament kind of situation can easily, light fire and, run through a bracket. And I think the way the bracket, and speaking of the bracket, if they can win their group, the bracket actually sets up really nicely for them to advance. So with those two things, and then being in South America, or with the tournament being in South America, I think they're going to do well. And then my team to surprise negatively is actually going to be Spain, and that's mainly because I think they're going to end up facing Brazil in the second round and get beat because Chile's going to win that group.
Okay, I see where you're
So
going with
the
that.
yeah, so they're going to end up having to play Brazil in the first round or in the first knockout round and get beat.
Okay.
So yeah, they're gonna disappoint because Chile's gonna actually win that group. So,
Okay.
it's technically the same point, but
Yeah, no, I got you. I don't know if I like it, but I understand.
we're daft, so.
And no, and there's another point about Japan that I wanted to make that you just made. Now you were talking about Chile or Chile's experience, and same thing with Japan. When you look at Japan's roster, pretty much like 95% of their team is in their prime. They're in their late 20s, in that 26 to 28 range. So I just think that Japan might be able to do something here and.
Yeah, say, man, if you could actually get some paper with some advanced metrics stating that, I bet you could get a lot of people to actually bet on Japan.
Perhaps.
Well, so say that. Well, when you said 95% of their roster is in their prime, that sounds like one of those
Oh yeah, it's
advanced
prime numbers, man.
metrics statistics. Yeah.
Yeah. Can't go wrong. I had it verified by some Ivy League math people.
Yeah, those advanced metrics are wrong on the Stanley Cup Finals so far. Dang it!
Yeah. All right, now let's go for disappointing, even though you've kind of went into a surprise disappointment. Off the
Well,
radar
I
there.
got more disappointments.
Okay, that's fine.
There's a lot of
Then,
disappointment to go around.
all right, then we'll let you start with your disappointing team.
All right. Well, the obvious one is the United States, mainly because I think the expectations are too high. Even with Landon not being on the team, God dog it,
Yeah, that's another $20.
luckily I don't get sent off for two yellows on this show. I only got the alluded to orange card on that one. So yeah, even with he who should not be named, even though I've named him twice already, not on the team. I think the expectations are a little too high because we're in the group of death and people are. Not necessarily all the fans, but the media kind of expects us to do well now. A lot of that, mainly, I think, is because so they can have something to use against Klinsmann when and if we don't advance. But yeah, so my first team to disappoint is the United States, and then just as a joke, the second team that's going to disappoint is the Netherlands because that's who I drew in our office pool. So there you go. That's top class punditry right there.
All right, so you're picking the USA to be the disappointing team, not really from your own personal opinion, but because of the opinion that is out there in the nation right now.
Well,
Is
yeah,
that how I'm
well,
reading things? Is that what you mean, really?
yeah,
The
I mean,
expectations are higher than you think they should be. So if we get knocked out, you're not gonna think that, hey, we did bad unless we go, 0-3 and look terrible in every match.
Yeah, correct. I mean, personally, I don't think it's going to be a disappointment, like you said, unless we go out and lose 3-0 every match. But yeah, so yeah, I thought you meant disappointing team in terms of, who might be disappointing to people at large.
It's fine. No, that's good. You see, you put your own spin and interpretation on the question, which makes it a lot more interesting than my bland white, Melba toast take.
Oh, well, don't sell Melba toast short. I actually like Melba toast a good bit.
All right, my disappointing
Especially the
team,
rye ones.
Well, those aren't... Yeah, the rye ones are good.
Yeah, well...
I was talking about the white ones.
Oh, yeah, those are pants.
Yeah. All right, my disappointing team is going to come out of Group E, which includes Honduras, France, Ecuador, and that leaves Switzerland, who is a seeded team because they gamed the system. If you listen to our World Cup draw podcast in December, you know that Switzerland, hey, they did a heck of a job to game the system in terms of getting their setting up their schedule to maximize their FIFA points and getting seeded. And I do believe that they will not be able to get out of their group. I think France will win that group. And Ecuador is a lot better than people think. And playing in South America, they'll do well. And Honduras, you never know. They might be able to take a point off them as well.
Yeah, so strangely enough, that's actually how I have that group shaping up, France and Ecuador.
Okay, so I think that Switzerland will struggle. Even though they do have some players who are pretty well known. They have the Juventus defender and Leichsteiner.
Yeah, bet she makes a good lager.
They got the new Aston Villa signee, Senderos. They got a former Arsenal something or another, Giroud. Your boy?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, I say Sender Ross is former Arsenal, too.
Oh, is he? Oh, I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yup.
Well, that's why people are mad.
He was Drogba's bitch. That's why we got rid of him.
Uh-huh. And they got, Valentine Stocker is a pretty good player, and he's at Hertha Berlin now, it says that. I thought he was still at Basel. That's news to me. See, I'm learning things here. And then you got Shaqiri, of course. So I do believe that the Swiss team is smoke and mirrors, and they will be disappointing.
Yeah, like you said, they gamed the system, and they have the looks to me of if anybody follows horse racing, the Swiss kill the ungraded stakes, but when it comes to stepping up in class, they're going to get smoked, like you said.
There we go, yes. All right, now we're into our third category, and I will let you introduce that, sir.
Yeah, the third category, since we're, we gotta introduce even more obligatory daftness. The third category, and mainly because this happens a lot at tournaments, the team that's most likely or that will implode. And then, this could be for any number of reasons. It could be competitive, or usually it's to do with off-the-field stuff, like France in 2006 when you had everything from the national team manager picking his roster by tarot card readings to Evra basically creating a riot behind the scenes to, the Dutch team that was basically going out in the 74 World Cup, staying out till 4 in the morning, partying all night, and still almost won the World Cup. But what was the other example I had?
Zaire.
The Zaire in 74. Now, granted, Zaire wasn't supposed to do well, but they went bonkers in that last game because it was rumored that if they were to give up a goal or to lose that match, which they ended up doing anyway, there were rumors that they were going to get executed by the dictator of the nation at the time when they got back. So anyway. So like I said, make a short story long, the next category is the team that's most likely to implode, and like the previous question, this could go any number of different avenues. So I'm actually going to, again, I'm going to cheat.
You're going to pick 10 teams?
No, just okay. Two. But it's mainly because it's England... mainly because I can pick on them. No, but seriously, because they're not going to get out of the group, and they're going to do their usual hand wringing of why can't we do this? We invented the game and we played pants again and blah 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 blah. And then Brazil, mainly because the curse of 1950 will be repeated and they're going to lose the final.
Okay, that's some foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Dun dun dun. That's what they call in the literary the literary world. Some foreshadowing. All right. Well, no. For once, we are in agreement here. My implosion team, insert nuclear bomb sound, is England.
Yeah.
Because if you have been listening to Talk Sport, all they talk about is Rooney, 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 Rooney. And if in this first game against Italy, Rooney has a poor game, and he probably will because Italy is a pretty darn good defensive side. The media pressure and the abuse that Rooney's going to get is going to impact that team.
Yeah, and that's...
And like it's said, crazy.
Because when you listen to their media, that's what's always so funny about England at World Cup time is half the time they can't even settle on who plays in what position, much less who's actually going to play and how they're actually going to do against the team. And like I said, for the lack of a better term, they're just, when it comes to tournaments, especially the World Cup, England just turns into a bunch of neurotics.
Now, I don't know.
Or even more neurotic than normal.
Yeah. And so I don't know, even know what they're thinking. England, you have one true world-class player in Rooney, and you choose to play him out of position. And then you wonder why he struggles. Well, play him in his proper position. Don't play him as a central midfielder or a withdrawn striker. Play him at frickin' striker.
Yeah, because I don't understand why if they, if they're going to run the 4-2-3-1 or the 4-3-3, whatever you want to call it, like you said, play Rooney through the middle, play Sterling and Sturridge on the outside. Sturridge played one of those wide forwards, when he was at Chelsea, so it's not like it's an unfamiliar role with him. You know, who cares, even though he had a good season playing more through the middle as a regular striker at Liverpool, you're a professional athlete. You're supposedly one of the better players now in the EPL. You should be able to adapt over a month period for a few games to play quote-unquote out of position. So, like I said, that's what I would do if I was the England manager. Like you said, play Rooney as a central forward and play Sterling and Andor, Oxlade-Chamberlain, one of the wide positions, and then Sterling on the other, and then you can swap those guys.
And you got Lallana, too, who played as the wide forward on the left for Southampton.
Right.
It's not like you have a lack of choices there.
Yeah, but as I'm saying it, I just meant that I see a lot of people talking about, we don't want to waste, because Sturridge had a good season, we don't want to waste Sturridge not playing through the middle. It's like, well...
So you're going to throw away your only true world-class player.
Right, so why can't Sturridge just play out on the left or on the right and one of those wide forwards and just suck it up? If it's for the shirt, suck it up, play slightly out of position and just work hard to make chances from the outside, It's mm-hmm. It's not freaking rocket science. Why does everybody have to play in their exact position that they're the most comfortable with,
It's going to be beautiful, folks. So if you have not personally witnessed a post-England loss meltdown, when England does lose several games, because they're not getting out of the group, even with Suarez not being 100%, I don't think they'll be able to get by Uruguay. Italy is in another territory. Italy is better than England. So if you have not listened to an English meltdown, everybody in this age has a smartphone now. Listen to Talk Sport to their post game, and thank me later.
Yeah, because look on the bright side, England, at least he won't exit the tournament on penalties this time.
That's true, because he won't be in the position to do such. That's great.
Yeah, because like you said, when you mentioned Italy, that's what why countries like Italy and Germany always do well at tournaments is because they're more... Because Italy can make the same case like England. They're a country full of neurotics, but when it comes to tournaments, they're just much more prepared, mainly because they're much more astute tactically, and they're always well versed in tactics, especially defending and counterattacking, which is, a lot of times that's what ends up the kind of tactics that end up doing well at tournaments. So like I said, if they get a goal or 2-goal lead, then England's forever going to be chasing that result. So
And a lot of that comes down to coaching. And I don't have the exact numbers in my head, and I know we haven't talked about this, and hopefully we will be able to here in the future. But in terms of the coaching, the problem with England and why they don't develop their younger players and even their senior players is because I'm trying to remember, as I said, I'm trying to remember the exact numbers, but it's something crazy. Like when you can compare the other top countries, and I'm talking Germany, France, Italy, to England, in terms of the number of coaches who have gotten their A badge from UEFA, it's like thousands, like tens of thousands in those other countries compared to like a few hundred in England.
Yeah, I think the if I remember correctly, just Germany alone, excuse me, Germany alone has like 5 or 6,000 more A badge coaches than England does.
Yeah. And
Like you
then they
said, it's
wonder why they can't get a result against these big teams. It's because you don't have the quality coaching. Get your coaches the badges. It's not, this is
that's what.
not the, this is not the Sierra Madre. You need your stinking badges.
Well, and that's and this kind of ties into the problem. One of the problems we have with the MLS is that it's all good and fine to say you want to develop things internally, but it's solipsistic and completely ignorant to not converse with other coaches in your field to share and debate tactics. And that's part of England's problem is that the last few decades, because they won the World Cup in the 60s. They've kind of, well, we can do it our way, and they kind of shun other tactics. And that's part of the reason why, when really tactically astute coaches like Rafa Benitez come into the league, everybody gets enamored with him because it's like, oh, wow, he actually knows tactics. It's like, yeah, because he's the type of manager doesn't really shun, innovation or knows how to incorporate other ideas into his own philosophy.
All right, sadly, I
Yeah.
have to put an end to the England bashing.
Ah, okay. Gong me. Fine me for that too.
Yeah, why not? Double fine.
Start a tab, Bosco.
All right, folks, now we get into history book mode here.
Yeah.
We are going to make our predictions for this World Cup, but to be able to understand this 2014 World Cup in Brazil, you need to go back to your history. And this is something that I have not heard anybody talk about. So let's take a little trip through history. This is brief. I mean, I had all kinds of notes written on this. Yeah, like, what is that? No, it was that Bullwinkle. Rocky and Bullwinkle had that kid.
Oh, yeah.
Peabody.
Whew, man, that's going way back.
Right? Was it the dog? Was it a dog? Mr. Peabody? Dr.
Yeah, I believe it
Peabody?
was a dog. Yeah, it was like some. It was like one of those indiscriminate or ambiguous hounds from like the 40s or 50s or something.
And he was, they'd go in the time machine and he would teach the kid a lesson.
Yeah.
yeah
Man, I like references that go over a lot of people's heads.
yeah most people, I love that
Because I'm
show
a
anyway.
snob, you know?
Yeah, Rocky and Bullwinkle is awesome. Anyway, actually they made a live movie of that a couple years ago. I haven't seen it yet, but anyway, let's start. And our history lesson today is World Cups held in the Americas. So being a geographer, Corey, you know that the Americas includes South America, Central America, and then what else?
Indiana.
What is? Yes, Indiana would be correct because it is in North America.
Oh, okay. Woo, man. All right.
All right, so the first World Cup in the Americas was in 1930, and that was hosted by Uruguay, and in that competition, Uruguay defeated Argentina in the final. Okay. Next World Cup to be held in the Americas, 1950 Brazil, which also saw Uruguay win, defeating the host nation Brazil, and the aforementioned curse that you mentioned. Next would
History
be
still hasn't won white since.
1962, Chile hosted, and in that, Brazil defeated the former Czechoslovakia. Then that brings us to 1970, hosted by Mexico, and that saw Brazil defeat Italy in the final. Fast forward, 1978, Argentina, we saw the host nation defeat the Netherlands. Then we go again, back to Mexico. Remember, I think it was Venezuela or Colombia was supposed to host in 86? It was Colombia, right?
Not Venezuela. Yeah, but it was Colombia, yeah.
Yes, and it got moved because of political unrest.
Yeah, 86 was my first World Cup memory, actually.
And so that got moved to Mexico, and in that one, Argentina defeated West Germany. Then we have the Americas, which is the United States of America, go figure. 1994, which saw Brazil defeat Italy, and now we're here in 2014. So, if you were paying attention and taking notes, what does every single World Cup held in the Americas have in common?
A South American team wins.
Yes. A South American team has won every World Cup that has been held in the Americas. They are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 for 7 so far.
Man, that's a hell of a craps run.
Yeah, which is pretty good, too, in a World Cup run. That's pretty uncanny. So I do not believe that is more than a coincidence. So with that in mind, let's get to our predictions.
All right.
And I'll start.
Yeah, chisel these into stone, people. This is what's happening.
That's right. You don't even have to watch the World Cup. Don't even watch, because we're going to tell you what's going to happen right now, and you're going to be disappointed. So if you don't want to know what happens, turn off this podcast right now.
You know, or do, and just bet your non-soccer-watching friends what are going to happen and make some money.
Oh, there we go. That's even better. Yes, don't ever turn off this podcast.
Yeah,
what's wrong with me?
Exactly. We're giving, you know, we think outside the box. We're giving you all sorts of tips here.
Okay. Now, we said everybody, you know, and their dog has been given picks about each group. Oh, that's mundane and boring. You know who's good. You know who's not good. So we're going to jump right straight to the semifinals.
Yeah.
Corey. And my first semifinal on the left is going to be the first place team out of Group A, Brazil. We'll be playing the first place team out of Group G, Germany.
Ooh.
Brazil versus Germany in the semifinals, and I have Brazil advancing out of that matchup. Just because I feel at home, they're going to be prepared, and they're going to be more used to any of the weather conditions. Remember, these European teams are coming over to heat and humidity. Mm-hmm. And Germany's battling, you know, some high-profile injuries that you have heard about time and time again already. On the other side, I'm not too strong about this first one, but I'll take the first place team out of Group B, which I do believe will be Spain. I will not count out Spain until they count themselves out. So, B1 Spain playing F1 Argentina, the winners of Group F, and I do believe that Argentina will win that battle. I do believe they're under the radar as well. I mean, they're getting a lot of play, but not nearly as much as Brazil. So I do believe you will get an all-time classic final matchup of Argentina versus Brazil. And that's when Brazil will crack. The pressure will be too much for them on their home soil in a final. And Argentina will lift the World Cup. And that includes Messi. And then at that point in time, everybody and their dog and their cat and their pet elk or their pet lizard or whatever is going to name Messi the greatest player ever. Because then he'll have completed everything that you could possibly do. So there you go. There's my view of things. I hear Corey shuffling through his notes.
Yep. Mine are going to be slightly different, but still a lot alike, more or less. that first semifinal matchup, I actually had Brazil and France. I just have a feeling France, for all their bad tournaments before, they're going to, for once, they're going to kind of put it, well, not for once, because they won in 98, but that's when they were hosting. So for once, outside of France, they're actually going to put it together, make a run, and I actually think they're going to beat Germany on a... Germany's going to get a little bit of a... I'm not sure where the ref is going to be from, but because of the over-the-line goal not called in the England match, Germany's going to get a... and again, I'm not saying it's on purpose, but Germany's going to get a call go against them in that France game that's going to help France win.
A karma call.
Yeah, exactly. A karma call. Good.
The reverse Torsten Frings.
Yes.
For that, so, too.
Yeah, so it'll be Brazil and France in that first semifinal with Brazil advancing because they're at home. And then that second semifinal, I have Chile versus Argentina because, as I said before in my surprise, I think Chile's actually going to stun a lot of people and win that group. And then if they win that group, whoever wins that group, the bracket sets up for a run to the finals because the or to the semifinals because that quarter of that bracket is going to be arguably really weak. So like I said, whoever wins that group B has a really good shot to get to the semifinals. And then in the final, unfortunately, basically what you said is what I think too, that Brazil is going to crack under the pressure. 1950 is going to repeat itself just with a different villain. And instead of Uruguay, it's going to be Brazil's arch-villain with Argentina winning the title on home soil. And as you said, Messi being elevated to the greatest player ever, which is going to cause me a lot of schadenfreude because Cristiano Ronaldo is going to go apeshit at that point.
He may kidnap him.
Yeah, which only means next year's or next season's El Clasico is going to be even more over the top than it normally is.
Oh, it's going to be chippy.
Yeah. Ray Hudson is going to need, like, an army of towels.
Mm-hmm. And then Evita will be on every crappy cable movie channel out there, too.
Yes. Yeah, so Argentina will win it, but like I said, I really like Chile, so, which is both the national team and the food. So
yeah, with or without beans?
Oh, that's, yeah.
Those are the question people ask.
Well, with the beans, but as long as it's not just beans.
Oh, sorry, I mean meat. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, con carne, but yeah, I mean, I'm not against the beans, but yeah, you got to have the con carne.
Yeah, the so. Beans are in there. I mean, with or without meat.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, con carne, son.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so we're both in agreement, which means and that it's not going to happen. Brazil and Argentina are both going to flame out. There's going to be riots, political distress down there, political strife.
Yeah, because that's actually partly why I think Brazil is going to lose that finals. I think the political pressure and a lot of the off-the-field stuff with the civil unrest, I think is going to catch up to him.
Well, you know, no, never mind. I'm not going to go there.
Okay.
I'm not going to go there. I'm afraid of saying something that I shouldn't say. So there we go. So Brazil, Argentina is our final. We both have Argentina winning. And as I just said, that means that it's not going to happen more than likely now, but I would bet it anyway.
Yeah, well, see, if Argentina does win, everybody will need earplugs anyway because of the post-match description of Messi from Ray Hudson.
Oh, well, you can check it out on SoundCloud, folks.
Yes.
They'll have it. SoundCloud knows.
And who knows, maybe not Ray Hudson will have his say, too.
Maybe he'll show up during the World Cup. Obviously, we have a long time to go between then, so we will be updating you as much as we can. We really haven't hashed out our schedule for the cup. We'll try to blog as much as we can during this time. And I don't know, next a week from, or less than a week, on Monday night is when the U.S. plays. So maybe we'll do a show right after the U.S. game or maybe the day after. We'll have to see how things shake out with our schedules. But yeah, get out. Watch the USA and Ghana, and let's hope that we can get those 3 points in that first game.
Yeah, because that was also partly why I was picking us not to advance, is because, like I said, I think Ghana's going to win, unfortunately. Not that I won't be rooting for the U.S., obviously, but when you don't get those 3 points in that first match, just especially with only two of the teams, only half of the group being able to get out these days, not getting 3 points or a full 3 points in that first match just really puts you behind the eight ball.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, now we get to the special point of the show, Corey, where we get to play the very special song that you alluded to earlier.
Boy, is it special, too.
Let's crank up the... And we hate to do this to you because we don't want your ears to bleed, but we thought we'd do it in good fun. Let's crank up the official anthem to the 2014 World Cup. Oh, my goodness, it's even worse than I thought. Just a few notes in.
It actually makes his Dr. Pepper song
Pitbull.
Yeah. Actually, reasonable.
Yeah, they should have just made the Dr. Pepper song the anthem. That would have been a lot better.
Man. Yeah. I'm not big on World Cup songs to begin with, but, you know. Or I'm not big on sports songs to begin with, but, you know.
Yeah. All right, folks. Well, that's going to wrap us up. We will listen to the Pitbull as we rock on out. You enjoy the opening matches of the World Cup. And let's hope that Mexico fails miserably in their first match. Let's just get that in there.
Yeah, 3-2. Yeah, when it comes to Pitbull, that's why I like colleagues. Boom.
All right, folks. For Corey Chatelain, I am Chad Smith. Come on, you Yanks!
Yeah, come on, Yanks! It's your world, my world, our world today. And we invite the whole world to play. It's your world, my